We come in our reading of God's Word to Luke chapter 2, Gospel of Luke chapter 2, carrying on from where we finished this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, let us hear the living Word of the living God. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. If we could turn back in God's Word to Luke chapter 2, and we'll consider particularly the song of Simeon this evening. Now, I'm sure we all know the experience of having to wait for something that we really, really want, something that we know will bring us great joy, but it always feels just out of touching distance. For the 1 or 2 young children here this evening, you might have had that experience very recently, as there were these presents accumulating in the house with nice shiny wrapping, and it was just so hard to wait until the 25th of December to open these presents. And that hard time of waiting might not only apply to the 1 or 2 children here, it may apply to a few more of us. But that experience of waiting for something is so common to all of us. And here in this passage, we are introduced to a man who knew that experience of what it was to have to wait. We meet a man who had been watching and waiting for something, or better, someone that he desperately wanted to see. And he was waiting for something far more important than the things we ever have to wait for. Whether it's opening shiny Christmas presents, whether it's waiting to be married or waiting for a child to be born, what this man was waiting for was so, so much more important. We come to Simeon, a man waiting for the Saviour of the world to come. We meet a man who for many years had waited for the consolation of Israel. And we're introduced to him in the context of the presentation of the Lord Jesus at the temple according to the law of Moses. You know, Luke is highlighting for us in a very simple way that from his earliest days, the Lord Jesus Christ lived out everything that was prescribed in the law of Moses. This young little child, from his earliest days, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, living in exact accordance with the law of God. And in this context of a small infant, 40-day-old baby coming to the temple, it's in that context that we're brought to Simeon, and our attention is directed to him. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Before we come to the song that he breaks out into when he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, let's just briefly consider who this man is that is brought to us. And we'll see that Simeon is a man of God, a man of God. Verses 25 to 28, we're told some wonderful things about Simeon. We're told that he is righteous and devout, verse 25. That is, he's someone who lives out a godly life. He is righteous. But he's also a man who delights to worship his God. He's devout. He's devoted to God. And what a lovely little pair of words that is. That wonderful relationship between a life that is righteous and a life that worships God. Devotion flows into godly conduct. Godly conduct flows into worship. What a wonderful little phrase to describe a man of God. And we can't have the one without the other. True righteousness and true devotion link together inseparably. But more than simply being just, righteous and devout, Simeon is a man waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the Messiah. In the middle of the tragedy that was the spiritual life of Israel at this time, this godly man is quietly waiting for the Savior of the world to come. While the religious leaders of his day were either busy denying the resurrection, the Sadducees, or giving themselves over to formalism and ritualism, the Pharisees, while all that was going on, this old man is simply living out a Christian life, waiting for the Savior to come. And that has an immediate lesson, I think, for us today. You know, we live in times when, in the religious scene in our country, the Church of Jesus Christ has either largely capitulated to liberalism on the one hand or formalism on the other hand. And this man Simeon shows us how to behave in the circumstances we find ourselves today. He goes on living a life of righteousness and devotion to God, and he waits for his God to act. And so we too are called to do nothing more and nothing less, whatever the circumstances around us, and to go on in faith, living out a Christian life, trusting in the promises of God, and waiting either for the return of our Savior or the blessing of revival. Before we turn to Simeon's song, why is he like this? Why is he just and devout, righteous and worshipping, waiting for God to work? Because of the work of the blessed Holy Spirit. Verse 25, at the end, the Holy Spirit was on him. Now Simeon in himself was no better than any other man in Israel in his time. But the Holy Spirit was at work in his life. Anything good in this man was not of himself. The praise and the honor was due to the work of God. And so it is with ourselves. In us, in our flesh, dwells no good thing. It is all the blessed work of the Spirit. But the Spirit had given to this man a special promise. He had revealed to Simeon, verse 26, that he would not die until the Lord's anointed came into the world. And how this man's faith in that promise might have been tried over the years. Notice he had to wait. God had spoken, but he had to wait. How many children had this man seen coming into the temple? How many times might his heart have leapt? Is this the one? Is that the one? But he's been tested through the years, having to wait on God's promise. But his faith has stood firm. Still, he trusts and he waits. And again, that is so applicable to us in our lives. God has given us a great promise that his Son would return. And we are called, every one of us, to live in the light of that great promise, to wait for it and to long for it. And yet we too are left waiting. 2,000 years God's people have waited. And we will be made to wait until every one of God's people are saved. But like Simeon, if we wait in faith and wait in patience, we will see that promise fulfilled as Simeon saw the promise given to him fulfilled. But then, as this man of God is going on, waiting, living righteously, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And there he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the Savior of the world, the long-promised Messiah, the anointed of God. All the promises given to him, all the promises he had read and held on to in the Old Testament, now fulfilled before his very eyes. How does he respond to the wonder that is before him? We'll see very briefly four responses. First, we see verses 28 to 29. That this man's heart is now content. He breaks out into a song of contentment. No longer, verse 28 and 29, is he living on promise. His eyes can see that God has worked. But you know, he's still called to faith. Humanly speaking, what is before him at this point? A 40-day-old baby. And to have seen in this little infant, dependent on his mother, the fulfillment of all the promises of God. What faith that must have taken. But notice where his faith is grounded and anchored. It is grounded and anchored, verse 29, according to your word. It is the word of God that has enabled Simeon to rest content. God has spoken, therefore he believes. The word of God is enough to cast aside any doubt as to who this little child is. And there are times in our lives when all we have to go on is the word of God, when there is really nothing else to sustain us. You'll perhaps know the story of the well-known missionary to Burma, Adoniram Judson. And at the early stages of his missionary experience, he was discouraged. There was nothing visibly to show that his efforts were yielding any fruit at all. And he was challenged. Judson, what about the prospects of the conversion of the heathen now? And his glorious response was, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. Judson, like Simeon here, walked according to God's word. Where God had spoken, whatever it looked like in outward circumstances, that was enough. And so God has spoken, and this tiny little infant is therefore for Simeon assuredly the Savior of the world. And how content Simeon is. Verse 28, he blesses God. He blesses God. He is Jesus before him, and that is enough. Godliness with contentment is great gain. He sees Jesus, and he rests in that. He praises his God, and he says, I'm now ready to go and be with you. I've seen Jesus. I have my Savior. And now I am complete. And what a wonderful response that is to seeing Jesus Christ. Just to rest that he is our everything. Therefore, in our life, we will bless God. And in our death, we will be with him forever. And what a great thing it would be for all of us to have our eyes so fixed on Jesus Christ that we do as Simeon did. In life, we bless God. And we are ready for death to go and be with our Savior. So Simeon's first response is one of contentment. He now has peace. Then, verses 30 to 32, he breaks out in a song of salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon knows that before him, in this little baby, is the very salvation of God. Before him is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. Here in this person is the salvation of the world. And that says to us so very clearly that nothing else and no one else is God's salvation. There is only one way to God, and that is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to say that today is to put yourself outside of polite society. To say that Jesus Christ is the only salvation of God is to speak in a way that is unpardonable today. But Simeon here is clear. Christ and Christ alone is the salvation of God. His righteousness, his devoutness are as nothing. It is only in this little child that he sees salvation. And as Peter reminded us in his prayer this morning, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He sees in this child the only salvation of God. But notice that though this child is the only salvation, that salvation is for all the world. Jesus Christ isn't to be hidden in a corner. He's not only to be preached to some or offered to some. The salvation in Jesus Christ is prepared before the face of all people. It is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This salvation, this exclusive salvation in this person is to be preached, to be offered to every man and woman, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, male, female, those who come to church, those who don't come to church. The full, free, and rich salvation in this little baby is for all the world. But that puts a question to us. And it's a question we see in how Simeon addresses Mary after he's finished his song. His song of contentment, his song of salvation. But then he notes that this child will bring division into the world. Verse 34, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. You know, though the gospel is for all the world, though Jesus Christ is for all the world, there are some who will fall because of him, and some who will rise because of him. The gospel message of Jesus Christ demands a response. It demands a response either like Simeon gives here, where he bows and worships, or it produces a response of, I will not have this man to rule over me. If we hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and our hearts don't rejoice with joy, if we aren't content and don't bless God like Simeon did, then it may be that Christ for us is a stumbling block and a rock of offense who will lead to our fall rather than our Savior who will raise us up to heaven. But oh, how blessed a thing it is to find in Christ one who raises us up, one who lifts us from the fearful pit and the miry clay of our sin, who transforms our lives, and who at last lifts us up to heaven. But there is one final reminder here that even for those of us who see in Christ every blessing and who trust in him, that though he will raise us up to heaven, we are not promised easy lives in the meantime. What does Simeon say to Mary in verse 35? A sword will pierce through your own soul also. Christ will truly raise us up if we trust in him. But it will not be a painless process to follow the Lord Jesus. It can be costly to bless God and to trust in Jesus Christ. A sword may go through our souls. We may lose friends. We may lose promotions. We may lose the favor of the world. A sword may go through our souls. Our experiences in life may be hard. But what would it profit us if we gained the whole world for an easy life and yet lost our souls? Nothing, nothing compares with being able to say with Simeon that my eyes have seen your salvation. So, a man of God, a song of contentment, a song of salvation, and a prophecy of division. For us is the Lord Jesus Christ set for our fall or for our rising. As we go into 2017, there is no more important question for us to answer. May God grant that we see in him our Savior. Amen.